Welcome back into the National Hour of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, and right across your Sportsnet platforms. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365, Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Alan May, capital analyst for Monumental Sports Network, who was in Montreal in what have been two electric Stanley Cup playoff hockey games in Montreal. Like, have you guys ever covered a game in Montreal for the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I've never been to the Bell Center, period.
Let me tell you something.
I went to a regular season game against the Stars once.
There is nothing that can compare to it.
Yeah.
Nothing. I'm telling you right now, I've either played or covered Stanley Cup playoffs for Sportsnet, Stanley Cup finals. No team in the league can match what Montreal presents to their fans before and during the NHL Stanley Cup playoff game.
Believe me, that comes through clear as day. You know, I felt a little bad in the first hour. We had Jason York on talking about Ottawa, and he said, I think that's the loudest. Is it the Canada Tire Center?
The Canadian Tire Center. It's called
I've heard of the brand.
Canada Tire. There's no better smelling store in the world than Canadian Tire.
They have their own money, you know.
Yeah, I'm aware. I have some. $6,000 of it worth 1 cent. But yes, he talked about how he thinks that's the loudest that building's been. And it came the day after watching the Bell Center. And it was like, whoa, those are different tiers of volume.
That Friday night game, with the fights in the benches.
Fights at the benches. Montreal just wins and big goals.
And then, I mean, it was a great hockey. I thought it was a lot more of a exciting game than the one on last night. But, I mean, that hit is just... How many times do you think you've watched that hit?
The Tom Wilson on Carrier?
Yeah.
More than twice.
Ding!
Yeah. That's just like a... That's a freight train.
Yeah. He just, like, skips out of there. He was delighted with himself.
I mean... You talk about on the button, you know, like hitting a home run or striping a golf club down the middle. That probably feels pretty similar to that. So,
Carey made the play.
That was the game right there, wasn't it?
Was the game. Anderson went and shook his gloves at him to fight. Wilson declined the offer. Play went on and Washington scored.
Duhaime banks it in off of Caulfield, I think.
Either way, full marks to the Montreal fans. The two games there were unbelievable.
How are we feeling about the Oilers before we get into just a quick look?
Actually, really good. Really good. And, I mean, it's twofold, right? The Stars, the big boys, and L.A. Like, what are you guys doing?
That Byfield failed chip out is the stuff of nightmares. Haunt you in your dream stuff as a hockey player. And just bank it off the boards.
And
it's more than that, though. It's just... That's two consecutive games where you played not to lose, and you cannot do that this time of year.
Yeah. We haven't had a show since the challenge, right? That was Friday night?
No.
Like, it's just not pretty. You let a team...
Series-altering moment.
You let a team that was really feeling down and out. Now it's like, I mean, we'll do game time later in this hour. I'm sure they're the favorites now.
I don't know. I don't know, like... How LA's built, like, you know, we've covered the Leafs here in Toronto all year. We know that. We know how their department works. We know who's the video guys, who's calling the shots. Ultimately, it comes back to your head coach, right? I mean, there has to be a comfort zone in his staff.
End
to
of
say,
day, it's on you.
It's okay. I'm with you. Let's do this. I don't know where it stood with Jim Hiller, but that was as much. The most I can give him is 50-50.
The most.
And now we are in the flipping the coin.
With fire, do I absolutely...
In a tie game.
Hey, you're not behind.
With 6 minutes to go.
And your team playing great.
Against two, possibly three of the greatest players in the game's history on a power play.
Over the last 5 years, it's the best power play the league has seen.
What are you doing?
Not sure. That was...
You don't deserve to win the series if you're going to make those type of gambles.
Now, other teams get breaks and don't take advantage of them. McDavid and Drysdale, and I said this before the series, everything pointed to LA for me winning this series, but I bet on Edmonton.
Yeah.
Because these two mutants, these absolute freaks of nature, refuse to lose.
But you can't win like the Edmonton Oilers are playing. You cannot win a Stanley Cup. You can't get to a Stanley Cup final.
They did last year.
No, last year
they killed penalties and
they were better last year. This is those two guys taking advantage of some really, really bonehead decisions.
But
and
it buys
moves.
Them time to figure it out as a team.
Win enough so Ekholm can
play. We're coming back to the Oilers.
Connor McDavid had 42 points in last year's playoffs.
We're just beginning. In the meantime, let's go back to the Montreal Canadiens and the Washington Capitals. Joining us now, former teammate of mine, Alan May, who's covering the Capitals for Monumental Sports Network. It's a heck of a series. Where are you, buddy? What's going on? Are you in the lobby somewhere?
No, I'm back home in D.C., and it's the most beautiful day of the year right now. So, I wish I was outside, but I'm happy to spend time with you guys.
You know what's making it beautiful? Up 3-1 on a team that you're covering.
That certainly helps. And I'll tell you what a great experience this has been. The other night I was in the broadcast booth filling in for Craig Laughlin in Montreal, and that is one of the loudest buildings I've ever heard. And you know, in my pro life, when I was a kid, I watched the Edmonton Oilers win 4 Stanley Cups from inside the building. One of those, I was an extra player. And you and I played in a New York Rangers series years and years ago in 1990. And we lost 7-3. And that arena was so loud and so rabid. At the next game, we had to put on a gong show. And we ended up eliminating them in 4 straight after that. But, you know, I heard Tampa, Caps in, playing Tampa and 2018 here in game 6 was amazing. And last year, every single game I was at in Edmonton in the finals, but in Montreal, my legs were shaking and vibrating in the booth all through game 3. It was a great experience for me and probably for all those Montreal Canadiens fans. That team dominated. They skated so fast. The fans really helped them get the win there. And then the Capitals found a way to quiet the fans yesterday and come out of there with the series lead at 3-1 because Montreal was feeding off those fans so well.
You're watching and listening to Alan May, Capital Analyst for Monumental Sports Network. So who quieted them down? Just one guy, Tom Wilson.
It was Tom Wilson, but before that, Kipper, you know, you guys are watching those games. And in the first game, you know, I watched it, you know, 2 times after the fact, after being in there. You know, it was so loud in there. So I watched our broadcast and then I watched the Sportsnet broadcast. And, you know, what I noticed was all the pushing and shoving, all the skirmishes after the whistles, the Canadian fans were getting pumped up. And I thought that elevated their team. And then in game 4, every single Capital from the get-go, any type of the time the Canadians would pull on a jersey or give a little bit of a stick, they just turned the other cheek, looked away. They didn't talk back to them. They didn't mess around. And for that part, they didn't have that elevation. The decibel level never got to where it was in game 3. And just for a little while, for a few minutes on that power play, and then the Caps calmed it down again. And it was just not getting involved in those active skirmishes, making sure that they weren't arguing with the referees, not giving them anything to feed off of. And of course, Tom Wilson kind of shut everyone up with that monster hit. And he was skating 15 miles an hour. He wasn't going 25 or 30. He was going 15, but 15 miles an hour meeting a player head on. And Tom Wilson is 235 pounds of ripped muscle. He had his feet planted firmly, and that really shook the building up and really affected the Montreal Canadiens on how they were going to play the rest of that game.
Alan, I think going into this series, a lot of people would have reasonably expected Washington to handle their business with this Montreal team. Have the Capitals been surprised by all the push that Montreal has given them here?
I don't think so. When you look at what Montreal's doing, they're a top-line team. They rely solely on the first line. Mm-hmm. They rely on the power play. And the Caps knew that Suzuki and Caulfield and Slafkovský, not to forget him, were going to do some damage. But they are fast hockey players, especially the first two I mentioned. Caulfield and Suzuki could play a 5-minute shift and never get tired, never slow down. So they're trying to keep them to the perimeter. For the most part, at 5-on-5, they've been able to keep them out of the middle of the ice. The Capitals have just kind of gone back to relying on that defensive play. They got out of sorts in game three, but the first couple of games, you know, Montreal puts a push. They just go as hard as they can, and there's not a team in the National Hockey League that doesn't kind of go into defensive posture. A lot of people said, well, they went into prevent defense in games one and two. They did not. The Capitals still had great plays, but the Canadians found a way to convert on some scoring opportunities, and that they did. And the Capitals, I thought, kind of took off their foot off the pedal a few times at trying to score, but they dominated, actually. When you look at the play and the fancy stats and all the different, you know, the sports logic things that we go through, the Capitals still had, you know, basically dominated the play in three of these games. Outside of the game three, the Capitals have dominated in all those statistical categories.
There's no question the physicality out of the Montreal Canadiens early in this series has almost gone shoulder to shoulder, but they are perceived as the smaller team. And I think when people saw Tom Wilson, you know, with that hit, many of them are sitting there going, okay, how long can Montreal keep going physically against them? Is this where it really catches up, I think, to the Montreal Canadiens in the latter part of the series?
Well, when you look at what the Caps were doing to the defensemen, yes, they were decimating them right from the first shift. They did it in game one, first shift. It was Ovechkin and Beauvillier planting defensemen. They're going after Lane Hutson. They're finishing the hit. Tom Wilson racked him in the first period. He finished the hit on him perfect, within the rules. Same thing, about the same speed he was going when he got Carrier, but he nailed him, and he was shook. He was grabbing his face, and, you know, Wilson gave him a shot, and he bounced off into the glass. And we saw a couple plays yesterday where Duhem and Dowd simultaneously hit their two defenders on like a 2-1-2 forecheck, and Dowd went flying back off of Caden Gooley. But I watched Gooley on the bench, and neither of the broadcasts were showing Caden on the bench, and he was shook up. He was winded. He was bent over. And you go down to five defensemen, and then you go down to four because you're not going to play Jack. So you get those other guys out there, and the Caps kept finishing, finishing, finishing. Now the next game, so this series has been about line matchups. Was a lot easier for St. Louis to get his line matchups out there. And the Caps, you know, they don't want Ovechkin and Strome to go head-to-head with Suzuki and Caulfield, because those kids are just going to go for it offensively. And if you miss the net on a shot, they're on a fast break down the ice. So the line changes on Wednesday night. It'll be back to matching with Dubois, Dowd against that Suzuki line. And then the other guys are going to go after. But the one thing the Caps will do, they will go after and try to stay within the rules of finishing the hits on those defenders. They're not the biggest guys. They're fleet of foot, especially Lane Hutson. He's hard to hit. Mm-hmm. But once you stop skating, you got to finish on him. And that's what the Capitals will go in, and they will try to do that in game five and send Montreal home sad. And that's, you know, they've got to stick to their game plan, stay within their defensive structure. And that's how they come out of this. If they can close this out in five, that will be how they do it.
And are you confident that Logan Thompson is healthy and able to be the guy he's been for them this season?
All the confidence in the world. And, yeah, you know, it was really nice of the Montreal fans to be cheering him on his yesterday. And, they cheered him when he got up the other day. I thought it was a jeer, but he was feeding off the animosity from the crowd. I love the Montreal crowd. I thought they were spectacular. But last game, Logan, on the high danger opportunities that they had at 5-on-5, he was there for his team. He had no rust on him. He had no wear and tear from what we saw. Got all the confidence in the world to him. But also, Charlie Lindgren has been a very good goaltender for the Washington Capitals since he's been here. So it's not like if anything ever happened to LT that the Capitals would be in panic mode over, you know, who's going to be in there stopping pucks.
It looked like it was a knee issue or something. He limped off, did he not?
There was a lot of contact. Every time you watch that replay, there was head contact.
We all assume he got bonked in the head, right? I mean, that's the initial report, right?
Down, but you know, and then there's also, you see Strome skates through him, and the skates are in the midsection, and then when you get the camera angle from behind, he takes, it looks like his knee is hyperextended. Yeah. So it's so impossible to speculate. And at that point, really, you want to get him out of the net because Montreal was rolling. You know, whatever was going on at the LT, I haven't asked him, you know, how bad he was shook up. But who knows? It could have been one of those overall body stingers when it just everything hurts on a big impact collision. But, you know, to see him skate out there and, you know, he was walking in the building on Saturday and he was laughing and joking with his teammates. And then he and Lindgren went out there and they left the ice at the same time on a Sunday morning. And that was absolutely hilarious. The, you know, the mind games they were playing with everybody. So, you know, the Caps have all the confidence in the world in both of their goaltenders. And just like Montembeau, you know, really gave Montreal a huge boost in the way he'd been playing down the stretch. So, you know, it's just one of those things. Hopefully you don't ever have to change your goalies, but when you do, you want to really be able to believe in the other guy.
Montreal's got some reason to believe in their future. You know, Slafkovský looks good. That Hudson is really hard to hit. What have you made of Ivan Demidov? A shifty little fellow out there. Not even little, just shifty.
Shifty. He is so fast. And I thought, yeah, really should have started playing him more. And in his very first game, I was like everyone in, you know, a true hockey fan in North America. And I was texting with all the former Capitals that I worked with. We were watching the game at all different places. And I had about 20 of my friends. We went to a bar to watch and a sports bar here in D.C. And we were like, wow, we couldn't believe how electrifying he was. And it was exciting for me and it was exciting for the league and the people of Montreal when he came out for the rookie lap and the arena's jam-packed. It's full.
Yeah.
You know, hockey is so much in, you know, the people of Canada's blood. And, you know, him to go out there, the way he got this first assist, the first goal. But I one of the things, because you've still got to learn how to play without the puck, the defensive structure. It's not like he's lazy and everyone is going after him in the second game he played. But I saw multiple errors. And you can't give too much information because at the end of the day, you want him to be a wow. You want him to be offensive. You want him to be able to carry the puck end to end and dish the puck the way that he has been. I loved watching him play yesterday. And he is electrifying. And if they ever pump him up with Suzuki and Caulfield full time, wow, there's going to be a lot of goals scored. And you're going to see those three guys get to 100 points each because he is that good. I was amazed to see him play. I can't believe what he can do with his wheels, with his skates, the edge work that he has, the shiftiness. He's really one of a kind. So, you know, they should almost go down to the three lines and just have that kid on the ice a lot. And because when he's out there, he's going to get the puck down the ice and you're going to have to worry about him inside the defensive zone. But he's been a blast to watch, especially in person. It's always better. And man, he has not disappointed me.
Awesome stuff. Before I let you go, Albie, just one thought. Washington Capitals is going to get even bigger with Protas at 6'6" coming back into the lineup for Game 5.
We will see. Tomorrow will be his first full practice. And then, you know, game day morning, he'll probably go out there for the, you know, they always do an optional on game day, but everyone seems to show up for them. But I would expect, you know, it's been about that time. It's been 3 weeks now since that injury. And, you know, that's normally when you look at it. If it's a minor thing, it's usually 7 to 10 days. If it's more than minor, you go to 3 weeks. If usually more than that, you're waiting to the 6 week mark. So the way he was skating in Montreal, he looks like he's good to go. And what a boost and what a weapon that is to bring back in your lineup, a 31 goal scorer that is one of your best penalty killers, that is a play driver. And I don't think I've ever seen anybody as far as my time in Washington, whether as a player or in my broadcasting role, that's ever expanded and improved his game so much from season to season, plus 40 this year, 6 goals last year. I think it was 6 goals this year, 31. And he came in and it's not line mates, because no matter who you put him with, he's been playing well, but he's battled harder on the wall with the pucks. He usually wins every single board battle. Shooting, you know, last year so many times he'd be 10 feet from the net. He'd dish the puck somewhere, and it drove me crazy. This year he just seems to be doing everything right. A true student of the game and an excellent teammate for the guys on his squad. So if he can come back, that'll be a huge difference maker.
Great stuff. Enjoy Game 5 Wednesday. We'll see what happens. Albie, great stuff as always, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. And Barney, send me that tie, bud.
What's that? A tie? Do I have a tie?
Oh, he liked your tie the other night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the blue one?
Okay, on it. Hey, you got it, buddy.
All right.
That tie. It looked good with one of my suits.
Former National Hockey Leader, Alan May, covering the Montreal Canadiens. and the Washington Capitals.
You know what I'm wearing for a tie tonight? No. I'm wearing a camo tie.
Whoa.
Yeah, see, BX had one the other night, and there's one in my style today. Let's do it.
I'll make it look good.
A camo tie on.
I am very envious of all the great suits. Like, I just think the Sportsnet suit game, all the guys look fantastic. Really
nice
good.
Stuff.
Really
Deb Berman, shout out.
Yeah. Oh, the best.
That'd be good work.
Really good.
Yeah.
Okay, what is going on with kind of goaltending in the first round here? Because, I don't know, it's kind of looking soccerish to me a little bit.
Some crooked numbers out there.
It's a tough game.
I'm talking about the flopping and the guys, okay, we just saw, for those of you watching and not just listening, Logan Thompson come off the ice like he was done, like grill marks on a burger, done.
I couldn't believe. Like,
and then 48 hours
starting?
Later, he's kind of giggling and laughing like, I'm sorry, but like... How do you go from looking like that to 48 hours back in the game?
You've torn your MCL before, right?
ACL.
I did my MCL, and I remember how loose my knee below the knee felt. Like, it just feels like there's no support. I saw him try to skate, and I saw it looked like his knee just wasn't there for him. And I was like, oh, night-night, you know, not seeing him again. And yeah, the next day, he's in there just doing his thing.
But on the – when he got cross-checked by Strome, right, was it, that was coming back on the back check? When he fell back, it looked like his left or right skate kind of picked.
Yeah.
And he went over the top of it. And you're like, oh, it's popped. It's gone. Like, it's not like he was – because I love to accuse goalies of being huge fakers and divers because they all are, of course. But, like, this was not a situation – well, this is a different one here. But this is not the situation where I thought he was faking it or, like, I thought he wasn't, like, actually
done. Oh, he
done.
Just gets cross-checked to the chin.
I know
straight
he
up.
Does. I know. But the
knee
– but it's not – it's
buckles.
It's like he can't walk.
Well, then he might be seeing Tweety Birds. I don't know.
Oh, so maybe, and, like
– maybe a little calm.
And then it keeps you from putting weight on your left leg in particular.
You've seen boxers get clocked and have trouble getting their feet under them.
Okay, so brings us to Freddie Anderson. Carolina seems to be very comfortable against the New Jersey Devils, but lo and behold, he's gone.
Stunning.
We're going to be the make fun of injury show. Kind of,
no,
today?
No, we're not. We're not. I'm saying like you want to lose this reputation.
I know.
And he walks right into the same reputation he's had his whole career.
Yeah.
It's just.
I'm not shocked.
Really strange.
No, I know. Listen, and our bodies are built differently. His does not seem to be a durable one.
I don't know if we have it, don't have it, show it, don't show it. I don't know. But like it was, I'll give it to him. It was a very strong nudge.
Oh my God. Strong nudge.
Very forceful nudge.
Kipper, you got hit hard. Listen, I am the foremost Freddie Anderson make fun of her. Like, I will make fun of him. It. But he
listen
got
to
hammered.
Me.
He got hammered.
Like what, Tom Wilson hammered?
No, but Carrier didn't play anymore either. I don't know. I thought
that's
he got
a hammer.
Carrier would have played. They told him to stop playing.
Yeah.
Strong nudge.
Okay, no further comments at this time.
Okay. All right.
No further comments at this time.
Hey, just one comment on Dobich.
Mm-hmm.
Good goalie.
Good goalie.
Good
dude,
goalie.
The Habs have
no
players.
Real drop off.
Needed a save.
Yeah, I needed one.
Mind you, like
still a good.
It's a good shot.
That's a good point, Sam.
It's a good shot.
No, for sure.
But every Habs fan sitting there saying,
but he's close. He's close.
I like him too.
I didn't think, like you said, not much of a drop off. It wasn't like, oh, this guy's way worse than Sam Montembeau. 100% agree. Thought he made some good saves in that game. But that's a young goalie, and I don't know if we have the highlight or not, but. Mangiapane's coming down the wing, coming down the middle of the ice, Ovi out to the right.
Mm-hmm.
He's mentally cheating.
Yeah.
He's thinking he's going to give it over to Ovi. This guy just set the goals record, and then Mangiapane went on him quick, but, you know.
My thing with the Habs is I was like, they have some players. I don't know that they're going to have the elite talent to be like a cup threat in a couple years, and Hudson has changed that, and Demidov has changed that. Yes, Caulfield was always, you know, a 40-goal guy, but Slafkovsky's come along. They got guys now, Sammy.
That
hate to break it to you.
They
got to get bigger.
For sure.
Yeah, okay.
They just got to get bigger. They're just too small right now.
Well, and they're
going to
lose Savard in the offseason. I guess they'll keep Anderson.
He loves, right? Demidov loves the toe drag to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Like where he tries to
maybe
like.
Because he's really good at it.
He loves it. But like he did it. There was another player other in the game, and that's what you love about the Montreal crowd. They're just so incredibly locked in where he did like a between the legs toe drag. That's a really cool looking move. Goes nowhere. And the whole crowd goes, like it's like a collective, like, oh, like.
They can see what he almost did.
You love that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was a great play to set up Slafkovský on the power play. Toe drag behind the net. Right.
Okay, we still got plenty to get into, but we got to do game time.
It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. It's 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So, only two games tonight, boys. Bit of a come down from some of the, I mean, yesterday, my poor couch. Like, I did some things around the house and then went on a bike ride to get some lunch. Before 1 o'clock,
I
honestly didn't leave my couch until 10 o'clock.
Just a 9-hour
got up to make
sesh.
Dinner and all that stuff, but it's a little bit of a come down tonight.
As tough as a dad to hear.
Yeah, sorry, bud. Lou Dog had to go for a walk at one point. The Panthers are big favorites on home ice tonight. Minus 140 against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa plus 120.
Get Hagel back.
Don't know where I'm leaning on that one. That, to me, is going to be an absolute battle. I really don't feel like the Florida Panthers are worthy of minus 140 in that game.
In that game without a suit of armor. That's what I can tell you about tonight. I would not step on the rink without full-on, like, you know those dog training suits you wear?
The only way I'm going out there is with a sword. Yeah. You're not letting me.
It's like a Roman gladiator being released against the Lions.
And the Dallas Stars are home to the Colorado Avalanche in a pivotal game 5. Should be an excellent game. Dallas Stars plus 115 on home ice. Colorado minus 135. I think that's a good number. You can kind of feel that the Colorado Avalanche are coming around here. What are you
saying? You're not going to give us the other number of the big event tonight?
No, I was trying. The election numbers were posted earlier. But I think they've kind of taken them down now. So I can't access, because earlier today when I was looking, they had the Canadian election on here, but it's not posted right now. So maybe too much information starting to trickle in or whatever it is. But yeah, hey, if I guess you go out there and vote, you could do that.
Get your vote in.
All right. That was game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out what's ever ordinary at Bet365. It's 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we got a ton to get into. NHL news and notes. We haven't even had a hellebuck conversation.
Oh,
not even close yet. Do you want to do it now or do you want to go to break?
We'll go to break, but I'll just say this.
I need
Jets talk.
We got some Jets talk.
Jets talk.
Big time.
Yeah.
And also Tampa Bay and Florida tonight. Matthew Tkachuk. So much has happened between our last show on Friday and today.
Kyle Dubas.
We've got to even talk about Matthew Tkachuk. People actually wanted him suspended.
I know.
On that hit.
Who was that?
Okay. Let's get into that.
Oh, great.
And more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The JD Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Get into some NHL news and notes. Buddy, my list is huge here. So this is going to be like speed dating. When I cut you off, we got to go to another topic.
Start, unfortunately, with Jets talk.
Yes.
Hush tones, yes. Jets talk.
Okay, so.
Jets whispers.
Watch the game. This closely. Justin, it was you, Sammy, and David Amber. And I had you guys in the background. I probably was eating.
Buddy, I was flicking back.
I'm not sure if you guys had the discussion, but I would not. I thought Hellebuck's not coming out for the third. Did you guys have that discussion on air?
I don't know if we had is he coming out for the third? We talked a lot of Hellebuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was the topic.
Were you surprised that he came out in the third? I thought he should have bolted his ass right after the second period and say, get, much like Peter DeBoer did that with Ottinger the other night, where it's like, you're not coming out and get ready for game.
This is 4-1 after two periods, right?
Yes.
You know, I just.
Would you have pulled him?
I don't know that I would have. It would have felt like kind of rolling over on that game to me. But I get why you would have. I understand it.
Yeah, he just didn't have it.
No.
And if you were...
Does he ever? See,
well, you're only, he does have it.
You got 20 minutes. You got a good offense. Mm-hmm. You're not out of the game. Yeah. But you were out of the game the moment Robert Thomas came down. And again, look, you looked like you were
Robert
small.
Thomas made no fakes on that backhand move. He never, and Hellebuck was actually sliding the opposite way somehow.
I was shocked.
Yeah,
was
you know, my problem with Hellebuck there was he typically plays deep in his net anyway, and then he was kind of passive and small on top of that depth, and it just, he didn't look like himself. There's no doubt about it. Now, I'm not one who thinks that, like, this guy can't play in the playoffs. It's, you know, between his ears. It's too much. He's going to be terrible. Game two, I thought he was good for them. I'm not giving up on Connor Hellebuck.
There's no choice. But like, you're not, you can't do what he did all regular season and then bail on him now.
No.
Okay. So no one's saying that he shouldn't start the next game, but
I hate that. I hate that he looks at his D-man on the second.
Something's going on here where he just shrivels up this time of year.
Mm-hmm. We have a clip of him from today. If you want to hear it.
Hold on. Before we hear it, do you want to have the conversation about how many games he plays? Do you put any stock in the idea that playing 62 goalies since, I want to say, 2004, since a lockout, have played 60 games and won the cup?
Yeah.
It's very uncommon. There's a reason goalies don't play that much.
I don't tie what's going on with him or previously at this
either.
Time of year
I don't
to the games played or where he is physically. I think his problem is mental. I think he does not challenge himself to go to the next level. We see different players now play out of their tree trunks. They just rise to the occasion. This guy has trouble doing that this time of year. And his body language, the fact that he plays so far deep in his net now, and he, instead of looking bigger, he looks smaller. He doesn't. Teams, the way they play you is different. You got to goaltend different this time of year. You got to be more aggressive. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the one that bounced off of Pionk. Like, come out, mm-hmm. go and make yourself bigger. And if it does bounce off of two guys, at least you're on top of them.
You're into the pile.
You're into the pile.
Like on that one, like the shot block attempt was bad. Like Perfetti's not in the lane.
The Tucker goal, I hated.
The Tucker goal.
Bomb.
I hate that one in particular because of the reaction. As I said, his D skates in front of him and he looks at him and goes, I don't know if he's calling to the ref like I got touched or what, but it's like, just
like, how about looking in the mirror? Who are you looking for to blame?
I didn't like the Shen one for just pure passiveness. Just get out, make a strong play, confident motion.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He'll tell you the same. This is between the ears and he's got to make adjustments. He's got a goaltend different this time of year because they play you different this time of year.
Sammy doesn't believe in him, right? That's what we're getting.
Just listen to this clip. Can we listen to the clip?
Okay, listen to the clip.
Listen, it's a little bit, it's like over a minute long. Just listen to him talking here.
Well, you don't love giving up that many goals, but we're 2-2 in the series. You know, that's all that matters, like winning the next one. Am I going to be better? I am going to be better. I've studied goaltending extremely hard. I've probably studied the most out of anyone in this world. So I know what to do and how to get my best game. So that's what I'm looking forward to do. And, you know, I got to get 2 days here and, you know, time to bring it in game five.
You're a Vezina finalist again. Congrats on that. Probably no surprise given the numbers you put up. But your playoff numbers are a surprise. How relative are they to your play?
Great question.
They reflect your play, the numbers.
Yeah, thanks. honestly, it's a surprise in my world, too. When I'm watching my game and, you know, there's a certain way that I need it to look and I want it to look. And you don't, it'd be crazy to go that many regular season games and then all of a sudden switch something up in the playoffs. You don't win 47 games and then come to playoffs and switch everything up. No, I know how it needs to look, and you know, I like a lot of things. I'm not going to go and make huge changes. That being said, I'm going to be better. That's my job, and that's the foot that I'm putting forward.
A lot there.
So, feel the same way after hearing that?
I'm okay the way he handled it. At the end of the day, all I heard was, I'm going to be better. So, okay.
Okay.
Just show everybody that then. That's all I heard.
I don't like two things. I do like that he's like, I know I need to be better and whatever. But, like, I don't like him saying, I studied more than anybody else in the world. You know, it just feels like when I was, why is it be a, it's like a weird.
It's okay. Thing. It's overcompensation.
Right. And then like, you know, you don't win 47 games. You don't need that. We don't need that stuff. But still.
It's okay. If it helps them feel better.
To me, it would put more pressure on yourself because you're putting yourself forward as this. Anyway, I think he's going to be okay. Valley has done some work, and we'll talk to him tomorrow on how he has not typically excelled through screens in the postseason.
I got to ask you.
That's the battle part.
I got to ask you.
That's the battle part.
I'm trying not to be combative here.
Okay.
But what has he ever shown you?
Mm-hmm.
In his playoff career that makes you think he's going to be okay?
Well, this is great. This is great because this is something
because I don't think he's going to be okay at all.
But this is something that you and I fundamentally have always disagreed on, which is like McElroy's a choker.
Yeah.
Oh, but then he wasn't because he played well that one time.
Yeah.
And the Oilers can't win, but then, they started
winning.
Hey, I
picked the Oilers.
Well, this year you did.
Can't win the Cups in Detroit with Stevie Yzerman. Can't win them with Ovi.
Ovi's never going to be. You can't until you can. And Hellebuck has had moments. Mm-hmm. You know, Game two, I thought he was pretty good this series. 2021, I think he had a good playoff series. I know it's not recent.
Yeah.
I just think good players are good at hockey, and it's still hockey.
Okay.
And you play enough of it, and that will normalize at some point. It's not another sport. I know it's different. I know it's more physical. I know there's more screens.
Yeah.
And he's got to figure that part out. But typically, if you can figure out enough things to become the guy he is, you can figure this out too.
If he just thinks it's a coincidence, then he's really hasn't studied. Okay, he needs to make
that's a good point
physical, mental, emotional changes in the way he comes to the rink.
It's not the same exactly.
It's not the same.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
Do need to make some changes.
Okay, told you we were going to come back to the Oilers in LA.
Jets talk.
And that was Jets talk.
Why I think LA might be in trouble is I don't know if you can get over the hump of losing two games the way they had.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can lose two games the way they did and still find a way to win a series in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
I think it's going to carry a little bit with them.
You do, eh?
I do. And there's a number of reasons. And one of them is watching this team in the first round play with four defensemen. Like when they signed Edmondson.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He was a Leaf, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was good for the Leafs last year, actually.
He was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good in playoffs.
What is he? A four, a five, a six?
Sure.
Okay.
Four and a half.
He's one. He's a one for them. And you know who's two? The guy who hasn't played all year, Drew Doughty.
Yeah.
Okay. When your top two defensemen are those two guys against a very fast team, you're no wonder you can't close out games.
Yeah.
They're tired. They're not fast guys as is, and they're your two best defensemen.
Yeah.
And you cannot play the Oilers just holding on and playing defense.
I thought McDavid mentioned that in a post-game comment. I thought he kind of planted the seed. He goes, well, they're mostly playing four guys back there. He said they're playing three lines and four guys, which is a bit of a, you know,
it's not
commentary
just the
on
four
the other
guys.
Team, which you don't usually hear.
It's two guys who cannot get up and down the ice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but that's not their specialty anymore. Drew Doughty is on the other side here. He's still very valuable, but he can't get up and down the ice. They had no push for offense in the third period or in overtime.
Yeah.
They were hanging on. You cannot play McDavid and Draisaitl hanging on. The Oilers cannot play in their own zone, and they have a goalie they're not sure of.
Yeah.
Why aren't you still pushing hard here?
The ice times, quite frankly, for the Kings are insane. Like, I mean, Edmondson 36-16 in that game. Mikey Anderson 34-14. Drew Doughty 32-57. 31-40 for Gavrikov. And then Brant Clark played 11-58. And then their sixth defenseman,
Harvey,
played 226.
226.
Why'd he dress?
Moverar.
Why'd he dress?
This is your first round. How can you?
Hellenius played a minute 44.
How can you prepare to play the Stanley Cup finalists in the first round with a sixth defenseman you can't use? You've already handicapped yourself.
You know what's so crazy about
this? It's nuts to me.
They were the second best defensive team in the NHL in goals against this year. And by the fancy stats, them and Vegas were the best defensive teams in the league. They didn't give up anything. They didn't score much. So for them to go into this, I think they're 14th in goals for per game, to go into this and score every game. How many goals have they scored? I don't know. Kempe's got 9 points.
Yeah.
They're filling the net. And to still be 2-2, giving up goals like crazy to McDavid and Draisaitl, who have 9 points each as well.
Yep.
It's freaky that they haven't been able to get wins scoring as much as they have.
Kempe has 9 points as a -5.
What?
He didn't score on it, but I know you love Kempe, so I thought I'd bring it up. But in the first period, I think, he came ripping down the right wing and then, like, in stride, pulled it from out of his and just rang it off the crossbar in one motion. He's a very cool hockey player. He's fun to watch.
He is.
He'd be in a rocket contention one of these years, I think.
And, like, Byfield's a great player. He's going to have a great career.
Yeah.
What's he thinking?
It's one of the most...
Is he trying for an empty net goal?
He wants to get the goal.
Oh, my God. This guy will never be remembered as goals, as numbers guy.
You got to be Kopitar.
I don't know why, like, it was that important to him to maybe get an empty net goal.
Like, I know he's thinking, I'm going to end the game. I'm going to put the game away. But if look at the time on the clock here. There's 45 seconds left. That gets out. I know. And Bouchard, what a great decision to pinch. You back out there, you end up playing goal.
He really had no choice.
I don't know that a lot of guys would have recognized that. It's a great hockey IQ play.
Just chip it off the boards, buddy.
He's a force.
Chip and chase.
Okay. Go get it. You're fast.
Keep her moving here. Oh, yeah. Two games on tap tonight. You guys have a pregame show at 6:30?
No, 7 o'clock. We're going to come up for 3 minutes or something.
No pregame? Yeah.
No, it's election night.
They want you to have a few more reps on our show before they give you a pregame.
We'll see someday. Working on it.
Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah.
The people that wanted him suspended are the same people who thought Montreal and Washington had a brawl in Game 3.
So that wasn't a brawl in Game 3?
In what world do you think that was a brawl?
Well, I guess in the playoffs, gloves don't really come off. But, like, when it's... In 2025, Kipper, right?
Yes, your world.
Who called it a Gen Z? Calls it a Gen Z brawl.
When there's two guys in the bench.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
To get back to the point of Matthew Tkachuk.
Yes.
I hate that any of these are discussed for a suspension. Like, people being like, oh, Zub should have been suspended. I'm like, come on. No. Really? Yeah. Like, me bringing it up, because it's just, I think, not to get into this again, they set the standard by suspending Hagel that...
On a different play.
Interference, blindside shots that put a guy to the ice, right? And I think if you, I mean, that's a, it's not as...
It's a late hit.
It's not as violent.
It's a late hit.
But that's...
On a guy who just had the puck.
It's a late hit.
There is way more intent in that than there was in Hagel's.
Oh, my God. What are you talking about?
That happened way slower than Hagel's did. There's no question.
I think it's brilliant by Matthew
Tkachuk. Of course
Tkachuk
it is. I hate that I even have to discuss this because I love it.
To go get a shot like that, like they just gave you one prior in the game, and to kind of even up the score without ever threatening of a suspension is just a nice... Wily veteran
move. I think that's just...
The fundamental difference,
greasy.
And I said this in our group chat, and I'll just say it, so my stance is that one of them is on a forecheck where Barkov has no... You have no reasonable position to assume he's going to be carrying the puck. Whereas the
you
other
mean the guy...
the
guy that picks everybody's pockets the best in the league and was about to turn towards the net?
He's going in for a loose puck battle. You know, you can't assume he's going to have it and you can light him up. It's predatorial. Whereas this one...
It was a gamble.
He gambled. And Tkachuk, the guy, did have the puck. It's not a good hit. It's a bad hit. It's a penalty. Hey. It's whatever. But it's a great late hit.
I love them all.
They got Hagel rested.
Collect all four.
And they won.
Yeah.
I love...
It's a good move.
And I got to say, too, I mean, I saw some pushback from Habs fans on the Wilson one. They're like, oh, it's a headshot. Oh, it's dirty.
Some Zapruder slow-mos of the hit today.
Just stop.
If you can't enjoy that.
Wilson would have had to be on his knees to be any more.
If you can't enjoy that.
Okay.
Dubas or no?
Dubas and Mike Sullivan part ways. Like, we
can't be that surprised, right? We had talked about
this
scenario and whether or not Sullivan sees himself as a rebuild guy and does he want out?
I think it's good.
I do. I think it's good, too. I think it's a fresh change.
Give Pittsburgh a chance to turn the page on the cup teams.
Gets Dubas to get his guy in and gives Dubas more control. Listen, Sullivan, Dubas comes in with a lot of power, with one of the biggest, richest contracts in history, but you're not telling Sullivan what to do.
No.
Now he has more power with the next guy that he hires.
So they're turning the page on Sidney Crosby, too?
Well, I will say the one thing that caught my, Dubas said that he had a 5-minute conversation.
Here, do you want to play the clip?
We have
the clip.
Oh, great.
So the question comes in hot. So just prepare yourself for the clip one, please. There.
Kyle, how does Sid feel about this? Because he is notoriously abhorrent to change.
Wait, I'm not going to speak for Sid, Mark.
That's a fair question.
I'm not disputing whether it's fair or not. I'm just, when we go through and make coaching changes or any changes in the organization, I have to do what I think is best for the organization. I called Sid yesterday morning before I met with Sully to give him the heads up. He's been through it before, but in terms of how he feels about it, I had a 5-minute conversation with him before about the fact that we were going through this to make a change, and we didn't get into the ins and outs of it. So I have to do what I think is best for the organization. Every single player, if you pull that room of players, you're going to largely have probably 7 of them that love the coach, 7 of them that hate the coach, and 7 that are indifferent, and the same applies to management. Same applies to the remainder of the staff as well. So I think polling players on their feeling of the coaches is not always the greatest thing to do when you're trying to make that change. And I had to take all the information from the last 2 years and do what I think is best.
When he starts to fast talk, he's angry. He was mad at that.
Yeah, he just tried to kind of get out of it. And I'll tell you what I didn't like about Kyle's answer.
God, I love that.
Okay,
thought.
Is that you go from having a 5-minute conversation with the most important player in our era, not just Pittsburgh, just the leagues.
One of the most important players in the history of the league.
Yeah, one of the most
arguably,
important players.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you quickly go to, you don't generally pull players. And I'm like, but he's not in that pull players group.
He's kind of a punk.
Okay? He's not.
No one wanted Brian Rust's take on it.
Do not go from a conversation with Sidney Crosby to generally we don't like polling players. Okay. He is not a polling player. He's a guy that could either be with you or against you, too.
Yeah.
In the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a guy that can really control, perhaps, the narrative on what kind of general manager you're going to be the rest of your career if this guy decides to leave tomorrow, right? It's not going to bode well for Kyle Dubas. He needs Sid Crosby.
Yes.
So badly.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea that it was a 5-minute conversation either.
Spend an hour with him.
Well, this feels like something that's like, where are we going? Who's it going to be? How did we get
means
here?
He was mad. Means he was mad.
That's kind of doing.
But you don't have to go public with that. That could be behind the scenes.
What you don't
need to do is go public and say, I spent 5 minutes with him. I didn't really get into it. We don't generally poll players. Okay. All right. Sid?
Maybe you should ask Sid.
Sid?
He'd look good beside Demidov, wouldn't he?
Oh, I'd be good in blue and white too, bud.
Sid's got plenty hockey left to play at a very high level.
Big time.
I'm not sure if he's going to want to just...
rebuild.
Not revisit his future. All right. Did I not tell you this is the fastest 2 hours in hockey?
You did tell me.
Felt very fast.
Very fast. 2 games on tap. You can watch them on Sportsnet with my good buddy, Justin Bourne. Have a great night, everybody. We're back tomorrow. Valley.